This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. I'm Matt Williams. I'm joined, as ever, by my very good friend, Alan Clark. And Alan, we ticked over a milestone of listeners this week. I know you noticed this because you were sending me WhatsApps, but we can now number our listeners in the thousands. We're in the four digits, baby. Can you believe that, Alan?
It's fabulous. Clearly, thank you to everyone that has taken the time to listen to us, Matt, and hopefully got some value from that. But no, it's brilliant. That idea started just before January. And, you know, we've learned loads whilst we've done it. And I'm delighted to see that figure. So, yeah, well done, everyone.
I mean, I'm now comfortable that it's more than just my family that are listening, because I don't have that bigger family. So this is amazing news. Because it feels a little bit like we've stepped up a level now. We've stepped up some of the rest of the stuff that goes around the podcast. So you can now find us on Instagram. We're the Mind Your Business podcast. Every word is separated by an underscore. So Mind Your Business podcast on Instagram. Give us a follow. Like our bits and pieces that we're posting. That really helps us to build the podcast out. We're also on Facebook. You know we're on LinkedIn. And you can subscribe and leave us reviews on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Alexa, all of those kind of places. So that's all the kind of podcast admin done. Let's get into the nitty gritty, Alan. What are we talking about this week?
And it is nitty gritty. So this week we're going to talk about our inner critic.
Wow. Okay, and this is that little voice in the back of your head that's sniping away, right? That's what we're talking about. And let's hear it then, Alan. You came at me with this title, which makes me think that you've got lots of good thoughts on this. So why don't you kick us off and we'll go from there.
I think that's it. You know, the inner critic is certainly a thing, isn't it? Every human being has got the inner critic. It shows up in business magazines. It shows up in self-help books. It shows up in all sorts of different ways. And it's a real thing. And it gets incredibly bad press. And I wondered if we could have a more enlightened, holistic conversation, balanced conversation about the inner critic. Is the inner critic all bad? Does it have its use? Let's have a conversation.
Well, I guess this is, we spoke a long, long time ago now in one of the very first podcasts. Two things that I think play into this inner critic. We talked about creating a business horror story, mm-hmm. and that is your inner critic is like the co-writer, right, of that screenplay. But also we talked about the ability in the mindset, one of the mindset podcasts we did, we talked about the ability to turn everything that goes wrong into a learning opportunity and an opportunity to get better. So I guess if you understand your inner critic and understand what it's there for and why it's there, you can take that as an opportunity to get better, right? So listen to the inner critic, but then move past it. So I'm all over this title. I think there's a load for us to unpack here. So should we frame this? I'm assuming we've all got this inner critic. Alan, talk to me about when yours surfaces. I've got a couple of a story from today where my inner critic piped up, but you talk to me about yours and we'll go from there.
And so have I, and that is my point. You know, it's that it's there and it's with everyone, and it pops up throughout the day. But I've been pondering on this for the last 24 hours, right? And I want to first of all put forward a philosophy that the inner critic is not you and it's not me. So straight away, I am not my inner critic. And if I'm not my inner critic, then who am I and what is my inner critic, right? And I wonder if a useful way to look at the inner critic, and this is a business podcast, is for the inner critic to be an employee of ours or to be a colleague of ours, or on the executive suite. We're the CEO, it's the operations director. So, but we know, first of all, we've done a bit of a separation. It's in our head. We do hear it, but it's not us. And therefore, I wonder if that allows us, and it does, because I did this today and it worked. I know that's only a sample study of one human, but I wonder if that allows us to manage our inner critic and treat the inner critic more as a consultant or as a employer or a colleague that does have some wisdom, but also sometimes it's not valid, and we don't need to take this on board, and we can say thank you, but we're now going to ignore you completely and move on.
Okay, so treat him a bit like Corporal Jones from Dad's Army, that kind of panicky don't panic Captain Mannering kind of thing. I think that's a nice way of looking at it. So have you got an example then of your inner critic, a conversation you've had with your inner critic?
Yeah, I'll speak. Just one today. So this is live, and I had a business coaching client regarding dates, and there was a reschedule, and then today it was meant to be at some time, and the client said, "Oh, I was expecting it to be at this time." And my inner critic immediately went, "Alan, you're wrong. You're not organised. You should have been clearer. You are incompetent. Why on earth would anyone want coaching from you? Da da da." Now, this all came at me in about 10 seconds, right? And I smiled because I was actually conscious of the inner critic. I smiled and actually went inside. I went, "Thank you for that, inner critic. In this case, I do know you're wrong. I am clear of the time. I suspect I know what's happened here. And I'll reach out and we'll have a conversation / email exchange and we'll reschedule." And that's exactly what happened. But for a split second, there was a delay in my client coming back to me. And again, the inner critic was saying, "I'm validated. The client thinks you're a muppet. Yep. He's never going to speak to you again. You've ruined your business. So you might as well not get back to these other five people that actually really want to talk to you, because what's the point?" And again, I smiled again and I said, "No, inner critic, you're wrong. Thank you for your concern. But I know what's going to happen here. What will happen is this person in the next hour will reply. We'll have this rescheduled. And in the meantime, I'll reply to the five people that are up for conversation." And that's what I did. And then just before I went on to another Zoom call, said client came back and said, "Brilliant, let's reschedule. All done and dusted."
See, what I love about that is, firstly, your inner critic, so in my mind, your inner critic's a bit like an officious butler who is like really, really tense, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think personalising your inner critic is a good step forward to actually dealing with them. But secondly, I like the fact that you actually dealt with your inner critic before it's got to a point where it's kind of impacted your response to the situation. And I think there are people out there that I don't think have that ability to, or their inner critic is too loud to just silence, because that's the obvious. You've kind of understood what it is, listened to it, put it away in a box, let the situation play out, and been proven to be right. So should I tell you about my inner critic?
Yes, please, go for it.
So I had a client message me Thursday night after hours, and they were a little bit grumpy, and they're often grumpy late at night. They're the business that is really stressed. There's a lot of stress in the business. And he messaged me Thursday night and said, "Something's gone wrong. Can we have a chat tomorrow? I'm not happy about this." And I went straight back to him and said, "I'm actually off this week, but I could squeeze you. I can have a 10-minute call while the baby's napping." And the next morning he came back and said, no, "Don't worry about your day off. We'll talk on Monday." So then I rang him Monday and he didn't answer. So I sent him a message saying, "Tried to ring you." He said, "Oh, sorry, hadn't the day off. Let's talk tomorrow." Rang him on the Tuesday, couldn't get through. He came back and said, I'm really hungover. Can we talk tomorrow? And I said, well, look, I'm in the office on Wednesday. Why don't I come to you on the same day? Or Thursday it is today, isn't it? And he said, oh, brilliant. It's a date. And then my whole way through there, my inner critic is saying, he's fobbing you off here. He's going to ditch you. This is obviously what he's doing. He's that unhappy that he is... he's going to have a difficult conversation and he keeps putting it back because he doesn't want to. Anyway, so I took the whole drive to the clients thinking, how's this going to play out? My inner critic is sat next to me in the car like, yeah, you've got to prepare to lose the client. Got there. Client was as chipper as I've ever seen a client. Just wanted to say, look, we've smashed the last 6 weeks and you've been really great and we love it. And you're and I'm sitting there thinking, I smiled through the conversation and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm lucky. I've been really busy the last few days, so I haven't had that much mind kind of space in my mind to worry about this. But what on earth? That inner critic is just an absolute worry wart that is just revving you up to these like worst case catastrophic situations, and then the reality is almost always completely different. So what can we do then? What practical steps can we take to deal with, because it's not going away, right? Everyone has one of these and it's here to stay. That's the human nature, right?
Absolutely right. So keeping the philosophy of that inner critic's not you and he or she works for you, member of your board, right? But not you. The truth is, if you had... You're a managing director or CEO, right? And if you had a director that was 80%, 90% negative and always questioning your competence and actually usually wrong, you probably would have a conversation with that individual, wouldn't you? And say, look, I'm not sure this is working out. I'm not sure you're having a very positive impact on my business. Let's at least have a conversation. Now, that came up for me, actually, and I called another call today I've had about, it was a managing director, and he had a conversation with somebody just like that. And you know, he'd been wanting to have this conversation for a while, and it was getting to the point that nobody really wanted to be in the same room as this individual. Such was the impact it was having. And in 40 minutes, he had a wonderful conversation that for the last 2 weeks resulted in this individual being uber positive. And the difference has been huge because the individual's actually technically brilliant at what he does. I think it's a similar thing here for the inner critic. I think the inner critic, by calling the inner critic out and being really aware that that inner critic's not you and it has its view, and at the moment it's more likely to be negative than positive, and you value the counsel, but more and more you're not going to take this seriously unless it feels like a more balanced, helpful viewpoint from the inner critic. Now, there's, in the world of psychology, that would be making your subconscious more positive, right? That's in the positive psychology is what I was trying to say. So in psychology, that's the sort of realm of positive psychology. But in this sort of more philosophical conversation, that I think would be incredibly useful. We value your concern, but let's shift from extreme negative to a more balanced, helpful counsel. Or I'm going to really just start ignoring you.
Yeah. And understand that it's very rare for that inner critic to be 100% right.
Very rare.
Very, almost impossibly rare for the doomsday scenario that happens every 10 minutes of every day to actually come true. So I guess it's understanding that it's a thing, right? There is an inner critic. Everyone has it. It's not just your subconscious and it's not your state of mind. It's a separate thing. Yeah. And then, understanding that it's a lot of what it says is absolute tosh, right? It's not based in fact. It's not there with a long list of, Google reviews that are backing up the fact that you are an incompetent idiot and that all your clients are going to leave you and your business has got 6 days to go. It's all nonsense, right? So, I mean, it comes to, we had a really good conversation a while back about optimists and pessimists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's all, it feels like it's linked in with that. I feel like a natural born optimist probably is able to compartmentalize their inner critic maybe better than a pessimist does. And that's what's bringing out the pessimism, is the louder inner critic's voice and their view on the world. I don't know. What...
You know what? So yeah, I've talked about this model certainly a few times, but you know, our context, our words and language, including our self-talk, our thoughts, are everything to how we perceive situations and how we feel. So headline, the more negative we perceive something, the more likely we are to feel worry, anxiety, fear, and then our actions are based on that and our outcomes. So what you say to me there really, really stacks up. You know, if I'm consistently listening and taking to heart my negative inner critic, I'm probably going to be walking about more emotionally negative, and therefore all sorts of behaviors manifesting not conducive to building relationships and growing businesses. If my inner critic's more positive, then it probably feels better being Alan, and that chain goes. The reflection I've had in all of this, if we can get clear that inner critic isn't you, it is, I don't know if it's a design flaw of Homo sapiens, I don't quite know, but it's in us. And it does tend to be more negative. Hence, I guess that's why it's been labelled critic.
I suspect if we could find a friendly psychologist or psychiatrist, whichever one is the right one, to talk to us, there's probably some evolutionary reason why it's there, isn't there? Right, it's there. It'll be linked to the fight or flight reaction to keep you safe from, you know, woolly mammoths or saber-toothed tigers or whatever it might be. But so I really like the idea of treating it as a separate individual. I think my method of dealing with that sort of individual, an actual real life human, would probably be very similar to actually how I'd probably subconsciously deal with my inner critic, which is, if you've got an employee, everyone's managed someone that is just whingy. They just, whatever you give them, they're going to moan about, right? Not enough change, too much change, blah, blah, blah. My method of dealing with that sort of employee, and I'm blessed now that I have no one like this, but in previous roles, is to sit them down and let them almost vent all of their whinges. Let's get them all down. Let's write them down. You write them down. Come on, let's sit and talk them through. So, I don't know, the air conditioning's always set at the wrong temperature. Your laptop's 3 years old and you want a new one. You're blah, 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 blah. And then the act of writing them out often minimises them. So they would actually, that don't worry about that one. That one's probably not important. Right, well, let's get it off the table then and forget about it. And if you do that subconsciously with your inner critic, so let them fire the five things they've got an issue with at you, and then actually, yeah, which of those are the real ones? Like, because there is a learning opportunity in there. Your brain is doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
And it might be that you're not paying enough attention to this customer. If it's, you're going to lose a customer, that's your mind telling you, you know what, you need to pull your finger out and show them some love. But the other four things will be noise around the edges that are the minor gripes.
That's brilliant. If I can come in, I think that's fantastic. So what's come up for me is what I was hoping that we could have a balanced conversation about the inner critic, is that there is part of the inner critic that definitely is useful. So this could be intuition. It could be coming down from the universe. It could be something built in our evolution. But there's something going, you might want to pay attention here. Now, but the way it's plays out is its intense criticism, where that you are usually incompetent and wrong. But that's a helpful way to look at it, because then if we separate it as it's a colleague or an employee, it's not us, that it's actually its reason for being's existence is to bring our attention to something, then that's its stunner's job. And then remind ourselves that we don't know what it is, but it's certainly not a truth detector. You know,
no, and 80% of what it says is potentially noise around the edge, but there is nuggets in there that are really important.
There's nuggets, but the stuff that really gets us close and can leave us on the floor emotionally and out of action for days quite often, i.e. 80%, 90%, is false. So this thing isn't a truth detector. It doesn't have the truth. Maybe it's an awareness detector. You might want to, and the way it's doing it is shouting like an aggressive policeman out the Sweeney in the 1970s, you know? And maybe that's all that's going on here. But if we know that that's there, then we can certainly get to maybe even love our inner critic and value the inner critic and not take it too seriously.
Yeah. The first step of that is finding a way of sieving the crux of whatever the issue is from all those negative thoughts, because it spirals, isn't it? It's this is wrong and that's 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 wrong. And somewhere in there is the bit that's actually worthy of your time and attention. How you sieve that out is the tricky bit. Just moving on slightly then, when you messaged me and said this is the subject you'd like to talk about, my mind went quite quickly to imposter syndrome, because that feels like the other side of this, where, and you see this probably more than I do, but there's a huge amount of people out there that are massively successful and yet don't feel they deserve it or they warrant the success that they've had. That's imposter syndrome, right? That feels like their inner critic is the chief cheerleader for imposter syndrome. So we, and I know you've got thoughts on this because you helped me with a mild case of imposter syndrome about 6 months in, when I couldn't work out quite why it was all going as well as it should have and it didn't feel like it should do. So what's your standard conversation when you're speaking to a business owner or another human, in fact, that's dealing with imposter syndrome?
So I think, first of all, your insight around the inner critic and imposter syndrome is a really good one, really valid, absolutely. I had it this week, actually, a conversation about imposter syndrome is something, and it is bespoke, but my general way of tackling it is to quickly get the individual to talk about facts. Let's talk about facts, not assumptions. Okay, so we're in the land of facts. What is going on with your business? What is going on with your performance? What are you doing? How are you leading? What are people saying about you and your business? Yeah, so to deal with facts is the big one. And then I do try, sometimes with a bit of humor, expose the lies inside, expose the made-up stories, the horror stories for what they are, by shining a light on it and go, right, okay, so actually, for you to believe that you are an imposter or not good enough, what is it you're believing? Some people don't like to even admit, and I get it, but once they open up, say, believe in this, then you shine the light on it, clarity. Bring clarity to that. Is that true? No. Right. So this whole imposter syndrome that's limited you as a human being for decades is based on an untruth. Yes. And usually that certainly rips that. You and I both like gardening, don't we? Bindweed. you know, in the grass, in the ground, just spreads. But if you can dig it out, rip it out, then it's not going to spread for a while. So that just rips that bit of bindweed out. And then there might be other routes to the imposter syndrome, but you've got a big chunk of it out. And instantly the person is free. There's freedom there. They're feeling much, much better. And it works. This is the way to tackle imposter syndrome.
I mean, what you did with me, and this stuck with me more than probably any of the original conversations we had, was you had me score out of 10, score 5 areas of my business. And my issue was, I don't understand why it's going as well as it is, and it's all going to crash because it's built on glass foundations or whatever the term is. And so you said, well, look at your marketing, and what would you give your marketing out of 10 in your brand position? And then what would you give these two random competitors of yours? And then what would you rate your team out of 10? What would you rate your client base out of 10 in your systems and delivery? And we went through that and actually looked that we scored just as high, if not higher, than everyone else on our very unscientific but quite pertinent scoreboard. And doing that, and at the time I didn't realise that that's where you were heading. It was just, let's just look at the business and where it is. And then it was like, well, look, your imposter syndrome is suggesting that you're not worthy of being where you are. And look, even if you're not better than them in your competitors in these three areas, you're on a ballpark in the same game with them, in the same division. So of course you're going to be playing at that level. And as soon as that, and I appreciate I'm an accountant and numbers and statistics are kind of how my brain works, but that levelled it for me. And now whenever I get any of those critical thoughts about the business is not doing what it should do, I will score. I'd go back and use that same technique. Mm-hmm. And I score myself against, and I benchmark different people now, like just to kind of keep it interesting. But I think it was a really powerful tool for me as an early stage business owner. And I think as a way of, if you do get crippled with anxiety around why is your success sustainable, use it as a tool to kind of validate yourself and you'll be surprised with the results, I should imagine.
Oh, that's really powerful. Really powerful. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's...
you shared it with me first, so it's only fair.
Yeah, but... but that is... You know, you go into... Right. When I was younger, I would go away with my friends to Tenerife for 2 weeks. And goodness knows what I got up to. But I always came back. But some of the places we stayed in, maybe that was just us.
Slightly concerned where this story is going, okay. Alan, but carry on.
No, you turned the light on, and I remember turning the light on, and it was a bit of a scuttle. And some cockroaches just doof. And you're not used to seeing cockroaches, but it's like 40 degrees, and of course there's cockroaches in some apartments, you know. And it's the same thing as this. So the word that, you know, I love using is the word clarity. But as soon as you bring clarity to something or shine a light on it and hold it, it just scuttles away. You know, the myth that's held the power in the darkness suddenly isn't powerful anymore. You've unloosened its grip. You've exposed it for what it is. And even if you did shine a light and it still stayed at you and went, actually, our marketing is 5 out of 10. Then you go, great, I can do something about that. And then you grow yourself. So either way, you're always going to win.
And that comes back to my technique with the moaning employee, right? Of getting to write it all down. Then let's sit, let's spend half an hour, let's get rid of every grievance you've got and let's write them all down and we'll see, shine the light on them, and the majority of them will disappear before we've even finished talking about them. So there we go then. So that feels like we've gone round in a big circle, but each of our aspects of looking at the critic, it feels like engage, shine the spotlight, sift through and find the important nuggets in there, because almost always there is something that is worthy of your attention. And get rid of as quickly as you can the noise around the edge, the negative stuff that's just negative because the critics are worrying old Butler, and then deal with the truth that remains in the light, right?
Spot on. So the first thing for me is remember the inner critic is not you. Its way of being seems to be hurtful at times, negative for sure, and it's certainly not a truth detector because it's mainly false. However, why is it in every single 8 billion human being? Let's say it's to bring an awareness to something, and we start to treat it like an executive working for us or an employee, and we build a relationship with it. But we certainly don't take its negativity and its view on our competence level too seriously. And we go from there.
Amazing. Well, look, we're bang on half an hour, so it feels like my inner critic is telling me we've got to fill 3 more minutes. But actually, no, I think we're at a good point, right? So, okay, well, look, next week we will be back with more podcast gold. In the meantime, as we said at the start, hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Give us a review on Apple and Spotify. All of that helps us grow. I mean, we've got a long way. We're now in 4 digits. Our aim is to get to 5 digits, but that's going to take a little bit of time. But we're going to need the support of our listeners. Every single one of you does us a favour every time you listen, and we love it. So I think that's it for me. Alan, have you got anything else to say?
No, absolutely. Don't listen to your inner critic as we get into the 5 digits. That's all I'm going to say.
There we go. Right, that's all from me. That's all from Alan. We'll see you next week.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.